Joshua chapter 18. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Joshua chapter 18, 1. I think we ought to look at verse number 3, where Joshua asked the question, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? I want to preach on this thought today. What are you waiting for? Father, we thank you for the word of God. And I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning. We need your help desperately. Father, we thank you for this great congregation that's gathered. But most importantly, Lord, we would be gathering for nothing, for naught, if Jesus weren't amongst us. I pray today that Jesus would be glorified, that Jesus would be exalted, that Jesus would be lifted up. Help us, Father, to preach by the power of the Holy Ghost. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this chapter, Israel is in the land of Canaan. This is the land that God had promised Abraham 500 years before. Abraham was 75 years old when he received that promise. 25 years later, he was able to have his child, the promised son, Isaac. And then we know that Isaac was around 60 years old when Esau and Jacob were born. And Jacob became the 12 tribes of Israel. So really, about 100 and some odd years had passed. And then Jacob's son Joseph became governor of the land of Egypt. And Israel went down to Egypt to dwell. And they were there 400 years. Over 500 years have passed. And now Israel's back in the land. You remember when they were in Egypt, and they were in bondage now. A new king rose up which did not know Joseph, and bondage and oppression and affliction came. And God heard their cry, didn't he? And he raised up a man by the name of Moses. And God did wonderful, great plagues and wonderful signs and miracles. And Pharaoh finally said, you can go. And finally the Israelites came to the Red Sea, and the Lord prepared a great east wind and rolled that sea back, and the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground, and the Egyptians tried to pursue, but they were drowned when the walls of the sea closed back down upon them. And you remember how Moses, he sent 12 spies into the Canaan land, and they came back with a great report of men grapes about yay big, and how the fruit of the land was so prosperous, and a land flowed with milk and honey. But the majority, 10 other spies, said, there's giants there. There's problems in the land, and we cannot take it. Amen. Seems to be the way you and I view Canaan land living as well. Oh, we want the land flow with milk and honey. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want any obstacles. We don't want any hurdles. We don't want any problems. We don't want any difficulties. We sure don't want to have to step out on faith. Amen. And so they got outvoted, and God showed Moses. He said, everybody 20 years old and under is going to die in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. And everybody 20 years old and under. And at the end of 40 years after wandering in the wilderness, Moses was brought up on top of Mount Pisgah. He looked over into the Canaan land. God said, you're getting ready to die. You're not going to go over yourself. Joshua will be the new leader. And Joshua brought the people down after Moses died, down to the Jordan River. God did a supernatural work there, divided those waters. The children of Israel crossed over. Now they're in Canaan land. Just one problem, there's inhabitants in the land. They're Canaanites, they're pagans, they're heathens, there's problems, there's giants there. But God told Joshua, said, this people don't know anything about war. You just get out and march around the city of Jericho. And you know, some of us, we worry, well, I seem like, preacher, my life's in circles. I'm just living in circles. I'm just going in circles. Ask Joshua how that turned out after he marched around the walls of Jericho. Amen. All those days, and the walls fell flat. Amen. Victory came. Amen. And you can read Joshua chapter 12, that there were 31 kings that God gave victory over for Israel to move into the land. And then we come here to chapter number 18. And you understand that this land is being apportioned. Joshua is dividing the land amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. Look at chapter 13, verse number 1. Chapter 13, verse number 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. How much of the Canaan land was given to Israel? All of it. How much of it was claimed? 10%. Joshua has got a problem. The children of Israel, some of them claim their inheritance, like Caleb. Let's talk about him for a minute. He said, I'm 85 years old now, but I'm as strong as I ever was. I've got more faith and more zeal than I ever had. He said, give me this mountain. And Joshua gave Hebron unto Caleb, and Caleb and his family took Hebron for the glory of God, which represents fellowship. I mean, little by little, the children of Israel would claim the land, but most of them did not. So what are we going to do about this situation? What are you going to do when slackness comes into your life? What are you going to do when you become lethargic in your spiritual walk? What is it you're going to do when you become listless in claiming God's promises? And all you want to do is come to church and sit on the premises on Sunday morning and say, bless us if you can, and you'll see me next week if you're lucky. I mean, why in the world is it we're just sitting around enjoying? Listen, the children of Israel were enjoying what other tribes had already claimed, and the spoils of victory, they were living, mooching off the promises someone else claimed, but they wouldn't claim the promises themselves. Can I get a witness? Let's look at a couple of things that helped us identify the problem. What are we going to do? The Bible says in the very first verse that the whole congregation of chapter 18, that the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. The first thing you're going to need to do is you need to assemble as God's people. You need to assemble as God's people. Why, Preacher Darren? Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to make an invocation of God's Spirit. When the people met together there, look, the Bible says the whole congregation. Nobody was absent. Everybody was present. And what they did, they established this assembly. They brought in the ark and they established this assembly to be a time of seeking the face of God. That's why we've gathered today. We've come to worship Jesus. We've come to praise the name of Jesus. We've come to seek His face. We're making an invocation of God's Spirit. God, what would you have us to do? God, would you help us to be true to you? God, we want you. We desire you to move amongst us. Amen. Can I get a witness? Is that not why we've gathered today? To make an invocation of God's Spirit. But then there's another reason. They're there to identify themselves with godly saints. Now, please understand, it's going to get deep here. They've assembled in the name of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is a day that we should become more faithful rather than less faithful. Are you wanting to move forward in your spiritual walk for the Lord? If you're going to move forward, you need to assemble with others who are moving forward. It will encourage you. It will exhort you to be around others who are moving forward for the glory of God. And then there's an inspiration to go somewhere. Now here's the question. Is your Christian walk stale? Is it stagnant? Is it lethargic? Is it paralyzed? You've become inactive. Let me ask you a question. Litmus test question. Who is it that you fellowship with the most as a group in your life? Who do you spend most of your time with? Answer the question yourself. No wonder then
Where you're spending your time at is not amongst God's people. You gather here on Sunday morning for an hour, and that's about it. No wonder you have no stimulation spiritually. No wonder you have no spiritual motivation to press forward in your life, because you're hanging around groups you're comfortable with. But I'm asking you to become more faithful and more committed to the house of God than you've ever been before. You understand, they made sure that the things of God were the center of their life. Where did they gather? The scripture said at a place called Shiloh. Shiloh means rest. If you study geographically the Canaan land, Shiloh was smack dab in the center of the Canaan land. And Shiloh represents Jesus. Genesis 49:10 says that Shiloh, capital S, will come. He is our rest. Amen. They gathered at the house of God that was the center of their lives. Is the house of God the center of your life? Why, preacher, you know good and well it's not. Why would you dare ask me that question? Because it's got to become the center of your life, or you're never going to go forward for the glory of God. It has got to become your focus. So you knew it. You need to assemble with God's people. Preacher Darren, I'm not comfortable in coming to Sunday night service. I don't even know what y'all do. Why don't you try it? Preacher Darren, what do y'all do on Wednesday nights? I don't really know. Is it informal? Why don't you come and try it? Don't knock it till you try it. Just come on out to the house of God and see. I believe there'll be manna for you available if you'll get in the house of God. Amen? Faithfully during the week. Number two, what else can we do? You have to admit there's a problem. Look at verse 2. There remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not received their inheritance. 7 tribes. The tribe of Benjamin, Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. 7 tribes were mooching off everybody else. You know how many tribes there were? 12. Over half of them were not receiving their inheritance. They had not possessed it. Joshua stood up and said, "How long are you slack?" They were lacking their spiritual possessions. Now, I love y'all, and I do, but I don't want to see you lacking spiritually. I don't want to see you missing out on anything that God has for you. And here's the problem. You're at ease. You're comfortable where you are. Joshua's trying, he's a type of Christ, trying to stir you to get out of your comfort zone and take the next step. Claim the promises he's already given you. The book of Job, chapter 16, verse number 12. Job said, "I was at ease, but thou hast broken me asunder." When did trouble come in Job's life? He said, "I was at ease." I'll have to admit it. Preacher, he was a perfect man. He was a man that feared God. He was a man that eschewed evil. Job himself admitted he was at ease. We are in danger when we are at ease in Zion. Half the nation of Israel is not moving forward. They're procrastinating. They are living in neglect. There's no enthusiasm about Sunday night service. There's no zeal about Wednesday night. They are pleased with their present condition. In fact, they're hoping someone will pat them on the back for how good they are. How long will you continue to be slack? Oh, Joshua says, get up off your seat of do nothing and get busy for the Lord. You're lacking spiritual possessions. You are losing out on the sovereign promise of God. The Bible says the land was subdued before them. There's no more kings to fight. All 31 are wiped out. Listen, all you've got to do is just move in and inhabit the land. We don't have any ushers that stand at the door and say, "You can't come in here. You get out. You can't, no, you can't, no, you don't, he can't sing in the choir." We don't have any usher. All our ushers are inviting people to come in. You understand? There's nothing stopping you from going further for the glory of God. And if somebody said, "I'm going to build you a brand new house, and it's worth $1 million, and I mean, it's going to have 10 acres of land, and I'm just going to give it to you. How many of you wouldn't move in? I mean, that dishwasher needs to be worked on. You wouldn't have to do that no more. That roof, it's got to be repaired, the one that's leaking. Amen. That old vinyl floor, it's cracking and peeling up. Tiles is cracked and popped loose. Water freezes half the time. That old house we call home, we're glad to have it and thankful for it. If somebody said, I'll give you a brand spanking new $1 million house with 10 acres of land, all you got to do is move in it. Many of you would say, oh, I'm so excited. You'd probably go grab your stuff and move just as quick as you could. And God has given to you so much more than a $1 million mansion. He has given you exceeding great promises. And you sit around and say, I'd rather live in my old broke down shack. How long are you slack? So you have to admit there's a problem. Is there anybody here willing to say, Preacher Darren, I have a problem? I don't want to admit it out front of everybody. But I'll be honest, I'll have to admit it between me and the Lord, I've become listless in my life. I've just been going with the flow. You see, their laziness is really sinful rebellion in the face of God. They are refusing to go forward with God's provisions. Number three, you're going to have to activate God's plan. He has a plan? Oh, yeah. First thing, you got to be available. Joshua said, give me 3 men from all of these 7 tribes that's not claimed the land. 21 men. Who's available? I believe today, if I'm only preaching to 3 people, you hear me, you get available and say, you know what? I am going to be available for what God wants me to do. Who is here? Which 3 of you are willing to say, I am lacking and I'm willing to be sent to somewhere I've never gone before. I'm willing to do something I've never gone before. I've never invited somebody to church. I've never knocked on the door and talked to somebody about Jesus. I'm willing to be sent. Here I am, Lord. Send me boldly to do something that I've never done before. Some of you have never come back on Sunday night. These people have decided 3 men from 7 tribes are going to be available. And Joshua says, then I want you to go out and I want you to assess the land. In other words, they've been dispatched. They're going to depart. They're going to go through the land. They're going to write down a report. They're going to describe the land. They're going to come back and they're going to give the description to Joshua. He said, verse 6, when you come back, he said, I want you to bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here at the house of God before the Lord our God. Joshua says, when you do this, you will be assured of receiving your inheritance. So they sent those men. Look with me. The Bible says they're activating God's plan. The men arose, verse 8, and they went away. Joshua charged them to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land. You want God? You know what? God's looking for somebody to walk through God's promises. Hey, who's here is willing to say, hey, let's go take a survey together. What are we going to survey? We're going to survey Canaan. We're going to take a survey of what God has for us. We're going to take a survey of what God's wanting to do in our lives. And you know what? It's big. And it's going to take you more than one day to get through it all. But you're going to have to be willing to walk, and you're going to have to be willing to work. God told Joshua, everywhere you set the sole of your foot, that I'll give you. There's been times that I took a little survey trip, just me and him, and I put my feet on some things and said, Lord, would you give me that? Lord, we'll be responsible. Lord, would you grant us this opportunity? God, would you give us this? And I'm telling you, I can look around and I can see in my life place after place and time after time that my God has given and given and given again. He has saved souls. He has added ministries and done things for us that only He can do. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And if it gets us out of our comfort zone, then it just does, because it's what God wants in our lives, that we'd go on for His glory. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. Last of all, and I'm done. I want you to see they accessed God's privilege. So when they came back to Joshua at Shiloh, they came back to the house of God. Verse 10, Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land and the children of Israel according to their divisions. You know what they got? They got God's best. God has the best for you. And they received God's best. What else they get? How about God's blessings? Now I want to ask you a question. Sir, if there's one thing for you to quit, what would it be? I'm just asking you straight up. I can quit such and such. I need to quit such and such. Can you quit it? Next question. What can you start? I can start blank. What is it that you're not doing that you need to be doing? What is the next? I need to start what? I need to start singing in the choir. I need to start attending Sunday school. I need to start attending Sunday night. I need to start, well, Preacher Darren, I'm just afraid the services will get out of hand and we might be here at 10 o'clock. Well, you'll be making up for lost time. Preacher Darren, my kids go to school on Monday morning. And it's just hard for us to come to church at 6 o'clock and get out at 7:15. What time do you really go to bed? Joshua said, how long are you going to stay slack in claiming God's possessions, His inheritance for you? What are you waiting for? Well, more convenient. More convenient? There's no battle to fight anymore. He's run off all the enemy. All you got to do is show up. I think about George Washington. He was crossing the Delaware River in the American Revolution. And Colonel Rawl was a commander of the British troops. And he was in Trenton, New Jersey. And he was playing cards with his fellow soldiers of the British Army. And a courier brought him the urgent message that said General George Washington was crossing the Delaware River. But Colonel Rawl took that note and he put it in his pocket. And he didn't bother to read it until his card game was over. Realizing once he read it the seriousness of the situation, he hurriedly tried to rally his men. But guess what? Because his procrastination of the situation, his regiment was defeated. He and many of his men were killed, and the other men of his troop were taken into custody, and they were no longer at liberty. A few minutes delay cost him his life. A few minutes delay cost him his honor. A few minutes delay cost him the liberty of his soldiers. I could go on and on through history and tell you about people who procrastinated, people who waited, said, I know I need to do it, but listen, the Super Bowl has already been played. That excuse is over. The weather has improved. That excuse is over. We've removed the ushers that used to lock the door and keep y'all from coming. The ones that got in the parking lot said, turn around, go to the house. Don't stay here. We've removed them. And them ones that were standing this morning said, don't get in the choir. Y'all just stay back here. You need to search your heart. When you sing in that choir, who are you singing for anyway? Well, I think I'll just kick back today. Yeah, I guess God kicked back on you, didn't he? Kicked back on you. There's some of you that are not willing to move forward into God's blessing that he has for your life. You're procrastinating. You give every excuse and every reason why you can't go forward. And God's met you right where you are today. There's an old mountaineer sitting at his house. His wife in the rocking chair beside him. She was sewing. She looked over and she said, George, would you get up and go outside and check to see if it's raining? She said, in fact, I think it might be sleeting now. Would you go check? And George said, oh, Ma, I don't want to have to get up on a night like this. Let's just call the dog, and when he comes in, let's see if he's wet or not. It may be that you're the most faithful person here. The most faithful person here. But it just may be that the Lord says, I want you to activate my plan in your life. I want you to step out and go a little more
forward with something in your life. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what promise you need. I don't know what needs to be proclaimed in your life. All I know is that God assigned me to stand in this pulpit and tell you, how long are you going to wait? How long are you going to let this go? You may be here today and you've never been saved. What are you waiting on? How many, Jesus already died? Preacher, I'm waiting on a sign. He already got up from the grave. What greater sign could you have? He knocks on your heart's door right now. That's why you got that jumpy feeling in your soul. He's knocking on your heart's door. He wants to come in. Would you let him in? What are you waiting on? I don't know why I ran as long as I did. It was the dumbest thing. But there was a night that he got me, and I'm so thankful. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, for the challenge that has been proclaimed by Joshua to me. From the word of God to me. From the Holy Ghost to me. From Jesus to me. Lord, forgive me of my slackness, my slothfulness, my procrastination, my lifelessness, my listlessness. Lord, I am weary. I pray, God, that you'd forgive me, Lord, of my standing, my lack of prayer, my lack of study. God, I pray that you would help me to do more. Lord, I want to see more souls saved. I want to see people reclaimed for the glory of God. I want to see folks who are, wherever they are, if they're hurting right now, spiritually speaking, that they know there's a place they can come and be loved. There's a place they can come and the word of God be shared with them. And God, I pray that they know there's a place, God, that's hungry for people to be faithful, hungry for people to work, hungry for people to be committed. Oh God, there's a great work to be done. Children, young people, new generation, all around us needing to hear about Jesus. And Lord, we cannot on our own do this. God, send us the help that we need. Oh God, prepare hearts for what's to come. Lord, help us, I pray, God, to activate your plan. Help us, God, I pray, to center on the word of God for our life. Lord, for this we pray. Claiming your promise now, in Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen.